TheYeshiva.net.
Today's class is lovingly dedicated by Gian Levy in honor of the 8th yahrzeit of her dear and wonderful mother, Hannah Gilbert ben Shimon bat Eicha, on the 13th of Adar Aleph. Tehei Nishmas Tzrura b'Tzur HaChayim, and she remain an eternal source of inspiration and light to you and the whole family and all of the Jewish people. Thank you very much. So we discussed the fact that the soul has five different aspects. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. In the first class we discussed primarily the idea of Neshama, which is connected to Seichel, understanding, and then Ruach, which is now being discussed, which is connected to Midas, to emotion. There's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. So Chaya, Yechida are the two highest aspects of the soul we're going to get to later. But he's talking now, the first three names, the first three dimensions of the soul is Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Nefesh associated with the liver, Ruach with the heart, Neshama with the brain, the mind. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, therefore, are three aspects of the soul. And here we're talking about the Nefesh HaLekis, the godly soul. So first we discussed at length the concept of Neshama, which is associated with Seichel, with understanding, the ability of awareness, understanding specifically Bina. And then there's Ruach, and Ruach is the capacity, as he said, just like the soul has an ability to understand godliness, and even the highest aspects, as we explained in the first and second class, how that is and how the Rashbi and the Arizal and the Nesiim afterwards can speak about things even beyond Bina. The same is true, the Neshama also has the capacity for love and for Yira, for Ava and Yira, love and awe. La'ava Hashem Alekech, La'yira Hashem Alekech, and all the branches, all the middas that are branches, anafim, that come from the tree, from the trunk, which is Ava and Yira, love and awe. And that's connected to the Ruach aspect of the soul. So there's Neshama and then there's Ruach. So he says the fourth line. It's not just that because of his bainanus and asaga, because of contemplation and comprehension, a person also can reach an emotion. In other words, when there is contemplation, his bainanus, meditation, hasaga, so that may result in ava, in love, and in yidin, in awe. What we're discussing here is that there is an independent koyach, in the neshama, we're calling it ruach, the hisayrus hamidus, the arousal of midus, of emotions, of emotional connection is a koyach b'fnei atzma. It's one of the capacities of the soul in and of itself. This is expressed in two things. At least in two things. Inyana Aleph, the first thing is the Inebeklolus Avedus Adam Shnechlolus Bavedus Atfila, Yeshna Inyam Psukkah de Zimna. In the general Avoid of a person, which generally is defined by Avedus Atfila, the Avoid of Davening encompasses the whole Avoid of a person. We have the section called Psukkah de Zimna, Kamaimin Azal. The Gemara says in Brachas, Lo'olam Yisadir Adam Shmachish Lakadish Baruch Havachakach Yispala. The way of davening is before we do Shemayin Esra, this first a person engages in Shvachah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally the praise of Hashem, and then he davens. In Shemayin Esra itself, we have the first three blessings, right, which are Shvach, and then is the 12. Altogether, you have 18 blessings. Later, they added a 19th blessing. So you have the three in the beginning is Shvach, the three at the end called Haidoya, gratitude, praise, and thanks. And then you have the 12 in the middle. They're called Yud Beis Mitzayis, which are Bakasha requests. But the first three are Shvach. That's in Shemayin Esra itself. But then later they also added a whole section of Psukkah de Zimra, which is all Shvach. It's basically different kapitlach. First the Bracha Baruch Shamar, and then Mizmul Asaydis from Tehillim, and Yichvayt from Tehillim, and then Ashrei, and all the Halalukas are all from Tehillim. Right? And then you have the, at the end, after Aluka, you have the Vayivarech David and the Shira Sayam until Yishtabach. That's called Psukah de Zimra. Literally, it means verses of praise, of a song, of celebration. The point of it is that the davening shouldn't just be a robotic experience of just asking things, but that there's a connection, there's a relationship, there's a deep relationship of love and awe, Ava V'Yira. And that comes about through Sipur Shvachah Shel Makom, through telling the story, so to speak, of Shvachah Shel Makom, of the praise of Hashem. But a Sipur Shvachah Shel Makom ain't a inyan shel avana v'asaga gemura. The telling of the Shvach, of the praise of Hashem, is not something where there's necessarily the absolute understanding and comprehension of explaining everything. It's almost like somebody telling a story that he knows from what was told to him. The Gemara has an example about different prophets. The Gemara has an example. You have a Ben Kfar, somebody from a village, or even a Ben Krach, somebody from the big city, from an urban city, who saw the king, which was very rare. And afterwards, he tells over the glory and the greatness of what he has seen. Doesn't necessarily need that he should understand everything. He tells over what he saw. Even if time has passed, and he says over something that happened, I don't know, in his youth years ago, you see there's an excitement. It touched him. It moved him. There was a love there, a connection, a sense of reverence, of yira, of awe, of fear. Even though he doesn't have a full comprehension. He tells over the story. He saw something. And he tells over the story. And that itself arouses something in him. So he says, the pshat is, umizem mochach sheyesh koyach miyuchad l'seiridus hamidus, gam ksheinim nimshachem aydei hizbeinen es b'seichel. There's a special koyach, there's a special faculty for midus, for the arousal of emotion, even if it doesn't necessarily go through the channels of first hizbeinenus, which is a contemplation and a meditation in your mind. V'inyin ha-seichel eine ele lohasir es ha-dover ha-ma'akev u'lahaskir al-inyin ha-ve-vayira. The seichel is to remove the blockage, to remind you of the Ava V'Yira. Doesn't necessarily create it. It just has to remove the blockage of remembering the Ava V'Yira, but the capacity is there innately. I'll explain more. V'inyin ha-beis is something else, a second nekuda. Shagam b'midus shenem shachim en ha-seichel kamei b'derech b'meila. Even the midus that you see clearly, they come from seichel. They grow out of seichel. Almost naturally, organically, you really have to understand the whole relationship between what we call seichel and midas. Seichel is the intellectual comprehension of something, and midas is the way it affects a person, that it becomes part of me. Midah comes from the word size, right? Midah. You say the middah of a person. Why do we call it middas? Middas means measurements, right? Anshe middos. It says in Parsha Shlach, Rashi said they were great size, and they were giants. Anshe middos, you had to measure them. Like, how many feet is this guy? We say in the morning, v'lova shakoyen, middoi vad, u'michnesei vad, yilbash apsare, right? So middoi is the garment that he wears, which has to meet the right measurement. You can't wear a shirt that's too small, or pants that are too small, it's not going to fit. So it's called middah. A middah is a measurement. Yeah. The middahs, there's a mesech, the middahs of the Beis HaMikdash. So why are middahs called middahs? Because essentially, that's how the person gets measured up. Not by what you understand. What you understand, it's nice. My computer understands much. My computer has more information. Google knows much more. Middahs really, it sizes up a person. It's the measurement of a person. That defines who the person is. Because the idea of midas is the way it becomes not just an idea, but rather it becomes me. The person is emotional. There's a relationship. A person can have all the information in the world, It's information, and it's good. It's very powerful. And if you're looking for facts or you're looking for analysis, that may be what you want. But it doesn't define the person. You don't get a measurement of who the person is because it's information. Mashenkin Midas is the way that Seichel translates into something that becomes an experience. It's experience. That's why we say it's in the heart. You could feel it in the heart. You feel it. The heart is beating differently. You know, the experience is in the heart. Ruach is the heart. And yet we say Midas come from Seichel. They're even called children. Children that are born from parents. So L'chayda, the Rebbe says, this whole Musig has to be understood. Seichel and Midas are two separate things. Not only that, they're really two opposite things. It's in Yonam Hafchim, it's two opposite things. Why? Sha'ra'inyin ha-moichin u'isyashvus. From moichin, the more objective you are, the more cool, the more serene, the better you can understand something. You know, you say, you're too emotional, you won't understand. If you have a personal interest, then you're puzzled to analyze it. What's bribery? Bribery is you're getting personally involved. There's different types of sheichat. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that when they had to decide if there should be a leap year, this year is the Chalip year, a Ibur Shana. We're now in other edition. So there was a committee of people that would discuss it. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the beginning of Sanhedrin, that you're not allowed to have two people on the committee, the king and the Kohen Gadol. Why not? What's wrong with having? So it's interesting. The Gemara says the Melech is, he always wants a leap year because he paid his soldiers annually. Right? So if I'm giving you $50,000 a year and I get 13 months, it's much better than 12 months. So that's, what's the Kohen Gadol? What's his? It's an interesting thing. Because the Gemara says, b'pnei hatzina. Because of the coldness. What's the coldness? The coldness is he wants Yom Kippur to be earlier. Because Yom Kippur has to go to the mikveh five times. And if the mikveh, it's going to be winter, but the mikveh is not a kalte mikveh. The mikveh is going to be a cold mikveh. So he wants Yom Kippur to be earlier. Right? By the non-Jews, the holidays are always on time. By Jews, holidays are never on time. You always say Rosh Hashanah is early, it's late. There was never a Rosh Hashanah that was on time. No such a thing. We can't get our holidays on time. So he wants Yom Kippur to be early, so he shouldn't have a cold mikvah. So I'm asking you a question. How many degrees do you think is the difference between your Tishrei a month earlier without a leap year, a leap year? It's a few degrees. You're not talking about... And even if it's a cold mikvah, and when is this? Is Yom Kippur. And he's going into the Holy of Holies. He's right? But what does this show you? This shows you how bias works. Bias doesn't necessarily mean, something that is grand and massive. No, people, the kalt mikveh for Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, it plays a role. How much of a role it plays, I don't know. It depends on the person. But because of that, he was disqualified to decide if there should be a leap year. What's the point in all of this? The point of all of this is the whole idea of Seichel is, right, that there's a certain sense of cerebral detachment. That's the mile of it. You can analyze it. Hisyashvas means you're settled, you're cool, you're not enthused, you're not immersed by it. Vam shachem al mile lamata. And the idea of seichel is you're bringing down something higher, lower, to try to understand it. That's the idea. Inyan amidis who is spilus visrakshos. Midis is punktfaket. Hispilus. Hispilus means it affects you from the word pu'ula, hispilus. You dafkin is spoil from it. Hisrakshus means you be hisrakshus. That means you're emotional. A regish means there's a passion, there's a fire. You're not serene. You're not detached. You're not cerebral. You're feeling. Maybe you're feeling pain. You're feeling. It could be sometimes a feeling of pain. It could be a feeling of joy. Could be a feeling that's very, very positive. Could be a feeling that's challenging. But it's a feeling. It's you. And this is the aliyah, this is the yearning from where you are to something that you want to touch. Akasha, since it's impossible that something organically, Bederech HaMeila means organically, naturally. It's seamless flow. Something you don't have from a seed of an apple tree, you're not going to get an orange tree. And from the seed of a watermelon, you're not going to get honeydew. That's the seder. Why? Because the child is a replica. The child is a continuum of its source. So he says, you don't have something coming b'derech memela. That's what he says. You can't have something. To have from human parents should emerge, a mammal. Doesn't work that way or the other way around. You don't expect from horses a human being should be born. It's a different muhus. It's a different, you want this to come from this. It's a continuum of the source. You're saying middas come from seichel. There has to be, if it's similar in essence. So it's a development, right? The child is a continuum of the parents, shares the quality. But since middas is different than seichel and opposite, so how does middas, how is it born from seichel? Achayinyin hu de pshat is, shegam am shachas ha middas min ha seichel li mitzad zeh, shebelava chiyesh benefesh alikis koyach bifnei atzmai, sheeinei koshinim koyach havana vasagash benefesh alikis, liseidus avaviyira. The answer is middas has its own source. It has its own balabatishkeit. It may be revealed through seichel, but it's not created by essence through seichel. Then you have a good kasha. Seichel creates something that's a development of seichel. Like bina comes from chachma. The pshat is, that's what he says, that the middas of the seichel is because here we're talking about the nefesh alikis. And the nefesh alikis is a koyach b'fnei atzma. There's an independent capacity, faculty, that's not connected to the koyach of avana and asaga. For arousal of love and awe. V'lechein kashen itoyse b'ze gam pulas ha-seichel, b'shaz de-seichel tut noch zu in the roof, hadeze miskashirem ingin is-eiruris ha-middes k'fishu koyach b'fnei atzma. When you bring in the seichel, what the seichel does is it triggers, it arouses, it adds to the middas that are an independent koyach. It brings that out more. And that's why, even when you speak about middas seichel, which means middas that come from seichel, they come b'derech mameila organically. This is what we call ruach. This is the capacity of the soul for emotion, for connection, for being moved emotionally, umishkane, its dwelling place is belave in the heart, makam mishkan amidas, that's the place where the midas, so to speak, dwell, are embodied, are manifested. It's not that seichel create midas. So that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. That's not the vart. Because from if something is creating something, that which it creates would be a reflection of the creator of it, because it's a hemshech of it, it's a continuum of it. It's not yesh meyayin, it's a continuum of it. The vart is that there's a special koyach in the nefesh, in the soul, a fuse, so to speak, that's called middas. That's what we call ruach. It's its own capacity to be able to channel life through emotion. And just like we spoke in neshama, he asked before, how could the Rashbi and the Arizal and the Nesiim afterwards speak about levels that are higher than Bina? Yeah. And we spoke about the Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov with the Yehudim. And the answer was, what was the explanation? That it's not that the Neshama is an intellectual. That's not the Vart. So if it's an intellectual, so therefore intellect has its limits. So even the highest Neshama in Briya can reach till Malchus of Atzilus, because everything comes through there. And even on Hashem of Atzilus can reach till Binat Atzilus, because that's where divinity comes into a form of understanding. Beyond that, there's no intellect. He explained that it's a much deeper Inyan than that. Since the Nesham is rooted, you remember the first two classes, since the Nesham is rooted in Atzmos, Ein Sof. So just like you don't define Hashem as Bina, you don't say Hashem now became philosophy or intellect. It's just a manifestation. It's the way Atzmus is expressed through Bina. So the soul has that same Nekuda that it's expressed. It's expressing Elikus through Bina. The same is true Ruach. Because Hashem chose, right, that there's a manifestation of a lakus through midas, through emotion. So the neshama, l'chol shirayich, ani kinor, like Rabbi Levi says, ani kinor l'shirayich, I am a harp to all your melodies. So the neshama has a vibration called midas. You understand how reality, how atzmus ein soif is manifested through midas, that comes out through the neshama. I may need a seichel to remove blockages. I may need a seichel to answer some questions. I may need seichel to not distract me. I may need seichel to remind me who I am. And that's very important. But that's not what creates it. Similarly, let's talk about parents and children for a moment. We all understand, right, genetically, the connection between parents and children. Quite a deep one and quite a powerful one. Because these are the seed of the father and the egg of the mother, and they're coming together. And the cell it creates that then builds into an embryo, a fetus, a child. What is that? That is the genetic manifestation of Tati and Mami. The Y chromosome, the X chromosome, depends the male, the female, but that's what happens. But everybody understands, it's also discussed in Tanya chapter 2, the neshama of the child is not created by the parents. The neshama of the child, Terach didn't create Avraham Avinu's neshama, thank God. Right? Faked Arizal says, Shara Gilgulim, Sefer Gilgulim, that sometimes you have the highest neshamas come down into families that you wouldn't expect these neshamas to come there. It comes from parents that really, like Mashiach, the whole story with Lot. Arizal says Lot and his daughters and Yehuda and Tamar, all these relationships, Yishai, it's a lot of very complicated relationships. It doesn't happen conventionally. It says in Medrash, Matsasi David Avdi. So the Medrash says, Heichan Matsasi, you found David where he was lost. So he says, Heichan Matsasi Bizdoim. I found David in Zdoim. What does it mean he found David in Zdoim? Because Lot and his daughters were in Zdoim. And when Lot was together with his daughters, one of them had a baby, Moav. And Moav was the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Rus. And Rus, of course, married Boaz. They had a child, Ovid. They had a child, Yishai. And they had a child, David HaMelech. So where did I find David? I found him in Zdoim. You can't say the parents create the neshama. They don't create the neshama. They channel the neshama. It's true, they channel it. And it does say in Svarim, and it's a important thing, that the machshavas, the thoughts and the consciousness of parents, when they're together, when they're intimate, has an effect on the child. So the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya in chapter 2, don't think that it has an effect on the soul itself. Parents can't decide that. But it does have an effect on the garments of the soul. The Buddha of Strelitz, the son of Strelitz, once said, you can't imagine, he told his students, you can't imagine how much my Avodas Hashem would be easier if my father would have gone to the mikveh once in his entire life. How much my Avodas Hashem would have been easier. But he didn't become a victim. He didn't blame his father. My father didn't go to the mikveh. So his access to his neshama was harder. So he had to work harder. That was part of his mission. But his father didn't go to the mikveh ever. But what was he was describing something. In other words, the fact that his father, a father and a mother have a deep impact, but they cannot define your soul. They can define a lot of other things. And they can give you tremendous gifts, and sometimes it can be also opposite effects. Whether it's b'shoigeg or b'oines, or usually unwillingly, unconsciously. Gifts that were given to them unconsciously, in one way or another. Huh? Lineage, genetic, epigenetics, alle gute Sachen. But if they would be able to define my soul, that would be a whole different situation. They can't. Avraham Avinu couldn't say, well, with Hazat Hate, Terach, what do you expect? So b'meila, the pshat is the parents channel the soul. If there would be no parents, and so we're grateful to them, they are the ones who brought us into the world. But they don't define what type of neshama you have. And that's why one of the mistakes that parents could make with all their mesiras nefesh is thinking that they know the neshama of their child. You don't. It's not yours. You're the one who channeled the neshama. You have a responsibility and a schus to protect the neshama, to preserve it, to bring the best in it, to polish it, but not to define it. And certainly not to define it as in terms of what you think it is or it's supposed to be.
So, Rabbi, what was the parak in Rishon Yochsan is just about channels.
Yeah.
And that's where someone who you would think is, has a bad channel could actually...
Yeah, rise much higher. As somebody once said, you know, that yichus is like a potato. The best part is in the earth. The best part is in the earth, you know. Or somebody once said, it's like a bunch of zero. You know, it's a bunch of zeros. The question is, what's on the left side of the zeros? If there's a one, or better, even a two or a three, so you may have millions and billions. The point is that we have to understand its power, but also understand what's not its power. This is a mashal that Chassidus gives for Seichel and Midas. It says in Kabbalah that Seichel is the parents and Midas are the children. So that's what he says. Seichel doesn't create the children. Even what we call Midas Sichlim, which means Midas that are born from Seichel, it's like children that are born from parents that's channeled through the Seichel. But the Seichel is not the boide of the Midas.
Describes the neshama as the Seichel.
Yeah. Yeah, avad, it's connected. And without the seichel, the midas may remain dormant. You need the awareness. Sometimes you need the contemplation. You need the explanation. You need the havana and the saga. But midas has its own shayrish. And in fact, the root, it says the shayrish of midas is deeper than the shayrish of seichel. And that's why it could define, it can consume a person so profoundly.
The question was, most of the Chassidim says that the neshama is something divine that has nothing to do with you. We cannot control it. The Chiddush in Tani is that as more you
avada,
the neshama is described to the seichel. Right?
Yeah, here we're talking the neshama as seichel, and ruach as midas. We'll see chayi Chiddush soon.
Figure out if you call the neshama seichel, if you call the neshama intellectual. It's the same intellectual. Something that
the neshama is not intellectual. That's what we're saying. The neshama resonates atzmus sein soif through seichel, and ruach is the part that resonates alakus through midas.
In other words, it's two channels, different name.
It's a completely different channel, completely different experience. And when he says when it channels through midas, we don't mean that the midas are all created by Seichel. It has its own koyach b'fnei atzma. And that's the concept of Sukkah de Zimra.
Yeah.
Even if I don't understand, but there's a koyach for Ava and Yira, you tell the story and the Ben Kfar is already excited, he's enthusiastic. And the second dogma, that even Midoy Sichlim, the fact that it can be born from Seichel is because it has its own source, its own shayrish. What Seichel does is it may activate it. It may press the button, but it's activating something that has its own channel, its own source, and that is the capacity to experience life emotionally. And by the Nefesh Elikis, it's to experience Elikus through emotion. Then he says, Dalad, Perek Dalad, V'noisav Laziyam Adreiga, Gimel Nikras B'Shem Nefesh. Then you have the third aspect called Nefesh. V'huinyin is Spilus HaNefesh Ragba Negei L'Poyel. Nefesh is the way the soul is expressed and manifested, b'negeya l'poyel, b'negeya actualization, b'negeya how it lives and actually, whether in the positive or in the negative. Sur meida, staying away from the negative, or asei tov, engaging in good. And this too, don't think, if I understand something and I feel, automatically, I behave a certain way. That's the flow, but it has its own koyach. It's its own koyach. That's why it's called nefesh. It's its own fuse, its own capacity in the nefesh alikis. One that is sensitive to behavior. It's sensitive to that. That's what it is. Shemitzateva nefesh alikis, muchrichu lasis inyan shakadosh baruch hu reitzah sheyasayse, ve'eina yachal lasis inyan shereitzah shakadosh baruch hu sheyimnim alasayse. Mitzad the teva, mitzad the fabric, the nature of the divine soul. It's innately, intrinsically. It will do something that Hashem wants it to do. and abstain not to that which Hashem's ratzin is, Shayimna Malah says you should prevent from doing it. It's not just because I understand and because there's a strong feeling, so it's also going to translate in behavior. Rather, it's the way the lakus of the Nefesh HaLakis is felt and experienced when it comes to behavior. Just like Neshama is its own kayach, and Ruach is its own kayach, Nefesh is also its own kayach in the Nefesh HaLakis. V'hainu, shem sh'nizbar alei b'pchines Ruach, shein zam shachol pel yoytz m'pchines Neshama, just as we explained by Ruach. It's not just something that comes out of Neshama. Just like Ruach is not just something that flows from Neshama, it's just an automatic result of it. No, it has its own Koyach. The same is true. Nefesh is not something that only comes from the Ruach of the Nefesh Elikis, from the Midas, will translate in behavior, or from the neshama, which is seichel, it's a koyach b'fnei atzmai. Va'af shemavur b'tanya, kaka says in Tanya in the beginning, perik dalet, sha'avi yisherish kol ha-machmetz v'sesim v'mena heinim shachas, u'bilo de'en lem kiyim amiti ki ha-mekaymen b'emes u'ayu v'shem Hashem v'chofetz l'davka b'y b'emes. That love, it says in Tanya, that love is the source for all the 248 mitzvah sesim. And it comes from there. And without it, it doesn't have authentic endurance. Because to do it truthfully, it's when there is a passion, when there's a love, and you want to connect. You really want to connect. That's true. But he said, the arousal of ruach of ave and yid is relevant. That the kiyum, the fulfillment, should be authentic, and it should be with a chiyus, with a life, with an energy. But there could be the kiyum bepoyel, the actual behavior, without the arousal of love and awe that comes from ruach. You have, just like Aviv Yira could sometimes be triggered on its own without seichel because it's its own capacity, even though sometimes you need the seichel. And it helps and it removes blockages. But you're tuning into the koyach called Aviv Yira. The same is true. There's a koyach hamais of the nefesh alikis. There's a koyach nefesh that is sensitive to action and not to action, even if there's no Ava V'yida. Obviously, when there's passion, it's Geshmaker, and it's a Geshmaker Kiyim, but it's not dependent one on the other. It helps to it, and it's very Geshmak, but ultimately, it's its own way that it resonates truth on its own. And that's why you have different types of souls also. You have a Nefesh, you have a person that the main aspect of their Nefesh Elikis is Neshama. You have another person, the main aspect of the Nefesh HaLakis is Ruach. You have another person, the main aspect of the Nefesh HaLakis is Nefesh. So it's not like you're Nefesh, so you're on a lower level because you're basically getting the result of the result. No. You're tuning into a different spectrum of divine light.
Can you give a Kashmiri example from someone that connects?
Yes, sometimes a person is not feeling Avivida. So we often delegitimize our behaviors. Was is vert? If you have an excitement, if you're in the mood, now it's Geschmack. He says, don't look at it that way. No. Now Elikus is being expressed through Nefesh. It's very powerful. It's not mitzvah sanosh melamada. That's not the vart. It's not that you're a robot, you're a dead man walking just like a robot. That's not the vart.
Only the mitzvah maizis are dead people.
Let's not talk about other people as a sach besser. Medafish leden lashon hara afil av zich. Lashon hara is nishna fa tzveit, I feel
like. Mensch was just, was tiyan yeh tuk nizel vizach. Hu kashim hav, hu kayir, kashim dach. Ef sheba lamala tiyan zah avoyde. Lamata tiyan zah avoyde? The vein get tiyan zah zah avoyde.
When chsidus red wegen nefesh, it is eich mit ave vayire. Es is nisht, verstehst, es is nisht a truk in, the whole thing is, he said, when Chassidus talks about nefesh, it's also not dry. It's a lebedik nefesh. Right. Lemaisa, what it means is, there's a word from the Magid in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. It's brought in a lot of Chassidus Shesvarim that it says by Matan Torah The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Kof Aleim Har Kegigis. When Hashem took the mountain and he overturned, he put it over their heads like a gigis. A gigis is an overturned vat, a barrel. And he said, if you makabel the Torah is good, and if not, poitek for aschem, right? You're going to be buried here. Vayisyatzvu betachtes sahar, that's betachtes, under the mountain. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, the sugya of Matan Torah, daf peiches amen aleph. So Tosfos asks a question, why was this necessary? The Jews already said Nasav and Nishma yesterday. It says that Hey Sivan, we just learned in Parshas Mishpatim, the whole nation said Nasav and Nishma. So they said, yeah. So the next day, you're bringing a mountain and putting it over their head and saying, if you don't accept it, that's what Tosfos asks. And the Gemara over there. Just to give a simple example. Yeah. A chassan proposes to the Kala. Would you like to marry me with all the, whatever the lashon is?
And if not, I'll shoot you.
No, it's worse. It's not if not, I'll shoot you. She said, yeah. And not only she said, Nasav Nishma. Whatever, I'm in. You don't even have to tell me what life is going to look like. You want to move to New Zealand? I'm in. You want to move to Antarctica? I'm in. You know, like the Chabad Shaduchim. You want to move to Japan? I'm in. Nasav Nishma, huh? The next day, yeah, okay, let's get married. By the way, you take her under an elevator shaft and you say, if you say, yeah, good. And if not, the elevator is coming down. So there's two questions. First of all, what's it upon him does the shidduch have? What is it going to look like? Right? Even if she said, yeah, right, what is it going to look like? And second of all, there was already a yes yesterday that was done with regesh, with feeling. It was done with feeling. So the whole Indian, it's a big pella. That's what Tosfos asks. Huh? The best way to ruin a shidduch. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. The Maharal of Prague, on the Gemara, and also in Chumash and Gerarye, he says something very intense. He quotes it from a medrash, actually. He says that there's a halacha in Torah, it's called a ma'anis. What's the halacha of a ma'anis? A ma'anis is a very horrible situation where somebody violates a girl, a single girl, and he violates her intimately without her consent, without her permission. Something called mefata. Mefata means you seduce, you entice. Ma'anis means oinis, it's forced. So the halacha is, it says in Chumash, that if she wants, her father wants, lo yucha l'shalcha kol yamav. If she wants to marry him, she could marry him, and he has to, and he can't give a get to the rest of his life. So, okay, I had fun, next! No. As we say, you eat the kasha that you made, right? Lo yucha l'shalcha kol yamav. You'll forgive my metaphor, but you stick with it. Don't now send her away. She's not going anywhere. Of course, if she doesn't want, she'll probably not want. But if she wants, lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. That's the halacha. There's no get. So the Maral says, the Jew said, yeah. The problem is just like you say, yeah, you could say no. God can also say no. So Hashem became a ma'anes. He forced them. What's the halacha by ma'anis? Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. So God tied his hands behind his back, because Magid Varov LeYaakov, the Medrash says, every mitzvah he gave us, he himself does, because that's how that mitzvahs are Hashem's own design, kevayachal, evarim the malka. So b'meila, lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. Boom. There was a maisa. Kof aleim har kegigis. What does a maisa look like with God? I mean, what's vilstu? Whatever. Okay, you look up the mana. Huh? However you define it, it was an inyan of kafa. Now, that's a strange maisa. So, what's the whole inyan here? What's the whole inyan? So the Baal Shem Tov says, a moida de kavart. It's a very, very bekitza. But he's megala the it's a nefesh dikavart, but it's megala the neshama of it. When we look at ma'anis from our perspective, it's and justifiably, it's disgusting, it's horrible, it's called abuse, it's called tragic, crazy abuse, right? Huh? Yeah. Right? And it's true. It's true. What the Maral is saying is, like everything, there's a shoydish of a shoydish. You have to understand it in a whole different inyan. The Baal Shem Tov says, Kafaleim har kegigis wasn't to force the marriage so that you shouldn't be interested. They were already interested. Like, what are you... Oh, it's a different vart. It took the marriage to a deeper place. It took it to a deeper place. That it's not dependent only on what I'm feeling right now. It's that we're essentially one. If we're essentially one, if you feel it, geschmack, feel it. But if not, it doesn't take away the oneness. If I can give a very practical example, yeah. There are moments that parents get very, very angry at their kids. Maybe nobody here relates to it, but there may be one or two relate to it. They get angry. There's even moments, and I've heard this from parents, that they say, and I'm talking about good people. I'm not talking about Meshugoyim, Kranke Menschen. Good people. That from so much pain, they could say, you know, I wish this child wouldn't be mine. Or I wish this child somehow disappears from my life. Then their parents feel guilty for 30 years and they go to therapy for saying that. Yeah. Sometimes parents will say things to children that are very hurtful because children say things to parents that are very hurtful. There's sometimes a moment a mother or father are so exhausted, right, that their feeling to their children is extremely, extremely negative. Very negative. And they can't find in their heart any connection. It's going to pass. In a few hours when the kid falls asleep, you'll fall in love. I'm not worried. You'll come in and the terrorist is sleeping now and suddenly he's a malach elikim. The terrorist becomes a malach elikim once he's asleep after the bath and he had his ice cream at Eisgefährt, Alzesgit. We're not worried. But sometimes people feel very, very guilty and feel, I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent. And what does that do? It brings them down and sometimes makes people make the worst decisions. Because if you're not a parent, you could make really selfish decisions. Yeah. What's the most important? But what's the emes? The emes is if somebody would come that moment and tell the father or the mother, right? We're going to kill this child. They'll say, kill me first. At that moment, when you're not interested in your children, you're going to die for them. Because it's not that you're not interested. It's that right now, your body is having a reaction. You're exhausted. You're depleted. You're in survival mode. You're coping in a coping mechanism. You're overwhelmed. So your emotions and your body can't channel everything that's in your soul. And you know what? It's fine. That's how it is. Don't doubt the relationship. The relationship did not end. The relationship is very, very deep because it's deeper than emotion. So Moshe says, that's kafaleim har kegigis. Kafaleim har kegigis is not, once you said, yeah, I don't care, I'm going to force you. It's don't define our relationship only the days that you're saying nasa v'nishma. Even when you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm not interested. I'm in a dark place. Is there a relationship? The kafaleim har kegigis, yeah, matan taida happened that way. In matan taida, there was the kayach that even when there's no conscious emotional feeling, you still committed yourself to say, the Baal Shem Tov's Lashon is, Iskafya is Oich Matan Taira. Iskafya, which means to subdue, is also Matan Taira. Don't say now you're just a ridiculous, empty Jew, you have nothing. You don't have nothing. That's the Vart of Nefesh. The Vart of Nefesh is that there's a Likus, the way it expresses itself through Maisa, that's not a small thing. Back to this parent. When the parent looks and says, you know what, I'm in a very, very bad mood now. I am triggered like crazy. My whole heart wants to scream, get out of this house. What's your name, Bechlal? Let me change the social security number. And then you go to another room. You breathe. You have to always breathe. Because if not, you can go crazy. You got to breathe. You got to go into yourself. You got to pause. You have to pause. You have to breathe. That helps the brain go from the amygdala to the prefrontal. So you could be a little more regulated. And then you come out. And nothing, you didn't, but you say the right thing. You do the right thing. Something that promotes connection rather than distance. And then you feel like a shmata. He says, no, that was the nefesh of the nefesh alikis. That's a special, koyach hamaisa is a reality. It's not, if you feel it's something, if you don't, that's not true. Avada, it's much geshmaka when you feel. And avada, someone who has no feelings, there's only kafaleim harkegigis. If the whole marriage is just based on the kafaleim harkegigis, it's not gonna last. That's what it says in Tanya. Because we're not just hands and feet. That's emes. That's all emes. And that's why there's neshama and that's why there's ruach. But nefesh is its own koyach. It's its own inyan. The nefesh alikis reflects alikus through maisa. It's sensitive to what should be done and what should not be done. And the same is true also in a marriage. Any marriage, even the best of, I mean, maybe exceptions, but even the best of marriages goes through some hard times. Peaks and valleys. And sometimes seriously hard times. And sometimes such hard times that it feels like the couple can easily drift away one way or another way. Right? And there's no, you don't feel an ave, you don't feel. What's kafaleim harkegigis? Kafaleim harkegigis means don't delegitimize the fact that you're showing up for a relationship even though there's voices in you that say right now it's forced. Because you know what's going to happen? Tomorrow your heart will open up. And you'll be able to look back and say, thank God I didn't make that wrong choice at the moment. It's very easy to say, my heart is not open, I feel like a mountain is over my head, get out of my life. The idea of ma'anes, layuchel l'shalcha kol yomov, al pipshat is, you know, poshet, it's like a pun, it's like, you did this to the girl, it's a consequence, you know, you're not free anymore, now she feels the shame, right? When we talk spiritually, like every mitzvah, it comes from a spiritual level. It means you didn't create the relationship, so therefore you can't go out of the relationship. And that's really the power of a marriage. The power of a marriage is, what's the power of a marriage? The moment you realize this is the second half of your soul, so you didn't create the relationship, God did. So you can't get out of it. That's why divorce is not an option. What do I mean it's not it is an option. But the point is, it's not an option, meaning it's never done as an optional thing. Huh? So marriage therapist, so. You understand what I'm saying? It's not something you do optional. If you could stay married, it's not an option not to stay married. And if you can't stay married, I don't want to finish, but then I guess that's also not an option. But you know what I'm saying? It's not something, should we go Pesach here or there? Should we get divorced? What's in the secular world? Should we get divorced or stay married? I don't know. Let's figure it out. That's what destroys a marriage. What do you mean you don't know? There's no such a thing. It's not optional. If you can stay married, you stay married. Bismus in the snefesh. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because it's two halves of one soul. If it's two halves of one soul, so it's deeper than my feeling today. If I can't, the connection is what allows the feelings to happen. And that's the vart of the nefesh alikis. The nefesh alikis is not based on emotion. It's not even based on seichel. It's a chelik and lekamimal. But mele, through neshama, it comes out that it's toifus, the truth of alikus. Through ruach, it feels the truth of alikus. It feels alikus. And through nefesh, it embodies alikus. It embodies it through maisa. That's the vart. It's a chelik alikamimal. Al Rebbe writes, the simcha of a chasana is, yeah, it's not a union, it's a reunion. The Rebbe says in a maimer, it's halach lojnia, that the nefer, the chasana and kala, before they were born, they were two best friends. Inseparable friends. Two halves of one, they did everything together. Zan malchus. And then, you know how it is, you graduate school, you graduate yeshiva, and they were separated, and she was born here, and he was born there, and they wandered the world for whatever amount of years. And then they reconnect. So he says, it's not a connection, it's a reconnection, it's a reunion. So he says, he gives them money, he says, like two best friends haven't seen each other for many, many years, decades, and then they come together and they reunite. It's a tremendous simcha. What's the point? The point is, there's something irrational in a good way about a marriage. Somebody will say, why did you choose this person? You say, well, he's smart. Okay, there's other smart people. And by the way, he's not the smartest guy in the world. With all due respect, he's handsome. Okay, these other handsome people. He's not the most handsome guy in the world, maybe second. He's kind. Okay, Gewaldig. There's also other kind people. He has a good sense of humor. There's people who have a better sense of humor. The truth is, there's something there. There's a mashu, and you probably can't articulate it in words. In the Lashon of the Gemara, it's called baskal. It's a baskal. What's for the baskal? What's a baskal? The soul picks up that there's a connection. That connection is not rational. It's not supposed to be rational. Is it? Does it come out through rationality? Yeah. Does it come out through emotions? Hopefully. Does it come out through ma'aseh b'poel? Yeah, I should hope so. We call it a ksuva. But that's not the nekuda. The nekuda is that there's a oneness. Because there's a oneness, there's a safety, there's a trust, there's a connection. Now you want that all the parts of your soul should resonate. It should, the relationship should resonate. So there's the vibration of seichel, there's the vibration of middos, there's the vibration of ma'aseh. And one is not defined by the other. You say, oh, it's insignificant because I don't see the emotion. No. It has its own unique kayach, unique capacity. Of course, to understand the value of nefesh, you have to understand ruach and neshama. In other words, you could speak about ma'isa from a very bore, in a very boring way. That's what I'm saying. When chsidus redveg and ma'isa, it's already a different ma'isa. It's a... Yeah.
But it's not that we cannot divorce.
That's the word. Hashem says, I also can't divorce.
He is the can't. We can.
Yeah.
Well, I can.
Yeah.
So that's
That's why he wanted to be a kevayachal, a ma'anas. What the Maral is really saying is that the relationship of Matan Torah was not a voluntary relationship, not because it's weak, but because it's essential. You understand? When you say something is not voluntary, it can mean two things. One is because I couldn't care less about you. So it's not voluntary. I'm not asking you. I'm not asking. I couldn't care less about you. That's what many young people experience in religious circles. I couldn't care less about you. So if I tell you what to do, the vart is punktfarket. It's not involuntary because you don't matter. It's involuntary because it goes deeper than anything you can describe about yourself. So the fact that your conscious personality is not capturing the truth yet will not change the truth. You know, I could do everything. Can I voluntarily cease to be a human being? I'm asking. Good luck. I mean, I can live in a jungle. I could decide that I'm a horse. There are people who do that. It's called a fetid. I can behave like one. I don't know if I'll be able to run like one. But certainly I could do certain things like a horse. Yeah. It's called a behemoth, right? We have an expression with a behemoth. Zainish can behemoth. Can a person really be a behemoth? The answer is, I mean, good luck. I can deny who I am and live as something else. So it's not voluntary. So you'll say, oh, my entire human experience is forced. Well, you could look at it that way. Or you could say, this is your essence, this is who you are. It's a different idea. So kafaleim harkegigas means, this is who you are. If this is who you are, so ultimately it's gonna come to the surface. Ultimately you're gonna be who you are. I can't be who I'm not. And the closer the more I understand that, the easier it is for me to be able to embrace who I am. Yeah, you're teufes dinyan. This is not being mevatel emotions, chas v'shavkert. This allows there to be much stronger emotions. Because you realize that the emotions are not just, it's not based on moods. The emotions are based on reality. They're based on your essence. They're unconditional. It elevates the emotions and it elevates the seichel. And the maisa, yeah. So you have a neshama, it's, you have a type of soul, it's more inyan of ruach. There's nothing missing in it. It's a different avoida. You have a soul that's more connected to nefesh. You have by yidin, yeah. By them, the emes is felt through seichel, the emes is felt through midas, and sometimes the emes is felt through maisa. The Yerushamayim and maisa, it's not like they're not sophisticated, they're not as sophisticated as somebody else. That's not the vart. They're not as emotional as somebody else. It's like different chords in a violin, you understand? Different chords. It channels a different form of music. It resonates a different vibration. In the string theory of existence, right? Of Atzma Sein Sof, that's the core of all existence, there's vibrations. And the Nefesh HaLekis, its antennas, are absorbing the core, the source, and it channels it through different vibrations, sometimes through Neshama, sometimes through Ruach, sometimes through Nefesh. Then he says, learn another shtickle. V'hinei gimel madregis elu, liyoi saminyanam shel kedusha. These three levels, because it's Kedusha, everything is integrated. Each one has also the other two. In other words, one of the hallmarks between Kedusha and not Kedusha is, in unholiness, things go into isolation. In holiness, nothing is ever isolated. Because if it's connected to the one, so everything ultimately is everything else. What do I mean everything is everything else? Not that everything is everything, but there's always iskalalos. There's always integration. In other words, you don't drift away, you drift closer. That's the klal. In Kedusha, this is iskalalos. In other words, there's never two things that are completely opposite in holiness. The opposites, the dialectics, the thesis and antithesis is just a hachana for synthesis. Shnei ksuvim ha-makhishim zeh is only at sheyavoy ha-kosuv ha-shlishi v'yachriya b'neyem. Why? Because if in Kiddush everything is a reflection of oneness. So if everything is a reflection of oneness, even the paradox is also a reflection of oneness. So it's never complete. You're you and I am I and we never meet. There's no such a thing in Kiddush. In ego there is, in arrogance there is, in amalek there is, in klippa there is. I'm blocked off, I isolate, I go into isolation. But in Kedusha, there's always a skalalos. That's the klal. The klal is that there's always klal. Right? From prat, you go back to klal. From klal, you go down to prat.
So, ego, you mentioned in another shiur, easing God out.
Yeah. Yeah. So when there's ego easing God out, so isolation becomes a very, very powerful coping mechanism. Because that's how I'm going to survive. That's that you need to survive that way. So I become isolated. And therefore, so in neshama, you also have ruach, even though it's still neshama. V'hainu, sheyesh b'seichel netiyah klapei chesed and klapei din. There's already what's called midas shebeseichel. What's that midas shebeseichel? The way emotions are still in the world of seichel. The seichel already gravitates to chesed or din, but it's still seichel. Beis Shammai had a way of thinking. Beis Hillel had a way of thinking. This was in Seichel, but the Seichel gravitates this side or that side. That's the way Midas are still in Seichel. It's not pure, pure abstraction. That's already the Midas in Seichel. V'yiseidem is a Hispailus Sichlus. Then you have what's called Hispailus Sichlus. The Hispailus in Seichel. The intellectual, cerebral excitement. It's not the excitement, the personal excitement, but it's like, wow, in Seichel. That's already an inyan of Midas. You say them as a Midas Seichelim. Shazaw inyan shal Midas, ala sham Midas em adayim b'moichen. And then you have what's called Midas Seichelim, the way the Midas are still in the Moichen. In other words, the Moichen, it's like a conviction. The Moichen say, this is the way to feel, even though it didn't translate yet into the actual visceral feeling. So it's like the fetus still in the womb. It's a fetus, but it's in the womb. It's still impregnated in the world of Seichel. This is not Moichen Shem Moichen. Moichen Shem Moichen is pure, pure intellect It says that Hillel and Shammai were makabel from Shmaya and Naftalian. But they were always arguing. So it says, it says that Shmaya and Naftalian, the Svaris, were so abstract that Beishamai heard it through the filter of Gvura, and Beisilil heard it through the filter of Chesed. It's not that they heard opposite, they heard the same Vart. But the same truth, when it comes down, it already assumes a tzir. In a higher, more abstract form, it's completely divorced even from Chesed and Gvura. And then it's channeled through the prism of Chesed. So that's Meichen Shebe Meichen. And then you already have, in Meichen itself, the beginning of application. And the beginning of excitement. And the beginning of what's going to result in Midas. The neshama also has what's called a bechein. A bechein means ubechein. What's the application? All in seichel still. So this is the way nefesh is still in neshama. Ruach is still in neshama. But there's always a skalos. In Kedusha, nothing is ever completely divorced from something else. If yes, it's already not a sign of Kedusha. In other words, if anyone is really, really disturbing me to the point that they have to be cut out of my life, it's not coming from Kedusha. In Kedusha, there's always something to learn from the other. There's always something to grow. You don't have to cut out anything, because in Kedusha, you go back to oneness, and therefore everything has its space. Or to put it in different language, in real Kedusha, the Rambam says, when Mashiach comes, there won't be negative competitiveness. Why not? Competitiveness means that you're taking something away from me in my perception. That's why I'm jealous of you. In real Kedusha, that can't be. Right? It's almost like God feeling that you're taking away something from him. Like if you're feeling, God says, you're taking away emotions from me. You're not taking away, you can't take something away from the source from which everything is getting everything. The resources don't end. So when you're in touch with that, nobody can ever take anything away from you. You can only take away something from me if I go into a limited place where I'm stuck. So b'meila, in every inyan, there's iskalalos. When the nefesh halakis is in a state of ruach, not just ruach, there's also neshama, and there's also nefesh. Neshama is, there's an element of comprehension. He knows the value of Ava and Yireh. And it's a knowledge that's viscerally felt in the heart. And there's also an inyan of payel. When you're in love, you know that you have to be careful of anything that will destroy the relationship. And you not want to engage in anything that will connect. So real love, real awe, translates in how a person focuses on behavior. It's not just on emotion. Emotion is not abstract. If I love you, but then I betray you, obviously this love is off. If I love you, I want to protect myself and you from something that will destroy it. And I want to engage in something that will build it. So that's the nefesh, the way it's in ruach. Ukamaykin ba kiyum bepel pchinas nefesh, nichol gam inyan da'ave v'yiri ruach, v'yidiyah v'asaga neshama, sheziwi ha'yidiyah v'asaga, sheyideh shemakabal alav malchusi yizbarach b'ratzin v'ava lasas etzayna. O makabal el malchus shemayim leira shele limrit boi. Lira shele limrit boi la'avdeh b'chol minei avaydas evet. So even in nefesh, which is the third one, which l'chayit it's all about implementation, it's all about action. No, there's also hiskalalus. In Kedusha, nothing is ever isolated. So therefore, there's also the knowledge that a person is makabel, a love malchus beratzin. That he's sensitive to the fact that there's a hierarchy, and I'm not going to go away from it. There's a knowledge there. I'm not just a technocrat. It's not an involuntary computer. There's a knowledge that there's a hierarchy, and I'm going to implement it. I'm not going to run away from it. It's a knowledge. He's mekabel malchus yizbarach, and there's an element of accepting that malchus and a love to do his will and an awe not to betray it. V'zel klolus inyan gimel akoiches neshama ruach v'nefesh. Shem akoiches pnimim de nefesh ha'alakis. Shem eslapshim b'nefesh ha'bahamas. V'acher kach begufo adam. V'al yodam tzadich adam lavad avados l'shama shaskayna. So you have the three faculties, neshama ruach nefesh. These are called koiches pnimim of the nefesh ha'alakis. What do we mean koiches pnimim? We're soon going to see what koiches makifim are. But koiches pnimim is the way the nefesh ha'alakis is embodied in the guf. It's embodied in the animal soul and in the guf, and it lives through three, it manifests itself through these three vibrations, nefesh, ruach, neshama. And through it, the person ought to serve his avoid as Hashem. So these are the three elements of the nefesh, because the way it's embodied in the animal soul and in the guf, nefesh, ruach, neshama. We have time to go a little further.
Yeah. This paragraph, you're right. How did it get... That's right here, Hagar Filet. Second God, Hagar Filet.
Yeah. He's saying that even in the Ruach, there's Yediya. It's not like Ruach is just divorced from knowledge and comprehension. The primary element is emotion, but every emotion has an awareness. So even Ruach has neshama in it. There's no emotion without an awareness. Every emotion has an awareness to it. There's no emotion without awareness. Every emotion is preceded by awareness, right? Awareness may not be the source of the entire emotion. The emotion may be manifesting a primal desire in the person. Like he says, Ruach has its own fuse, its own circuit. But awareness channels it. Its own neural network. But you always need any emotion you're having. If I ask you, what's the awareness that precedes it? Even if you're very angry at somebody, thank you. Even if you're very angry at somebody, yeah? I can't feel awareness at the moment. I'm just angry. I'm overwhelmed. I'm crazy. What? There's an awareness that produced it. Children are not born in a vacuum. They need a tati and a mommy, even in 2024. You understand? Middos come from seichel. What do I mean? Come, not come created. That's what he says. But it's channeled through. There's going to be an awareness. So even in Ruach, you have an element of neshama. He discusses here now the opposite. And it's important here because here we start seeing all this was the Nefesh Elikis. What does this look like in the Nefesh Bahamas? He starts over the Nefesh HaLakis, right? Really, it's really much easier, I don't know, easier, but the Nefesh, to start with the Nefesh HaBahamas, in a way, is easier because it's easier to talk about something physical than something spiritual. Like, it's relatable without, you don't need the mimer, so to speak. You need the mimer to call it Nefesh HaBahamas, to put it in context. But he dafke started with the Nefesh HaLakis. Because as I said, the focus is not to speak about health in context of illness. The focus is to speak about illness in the context of health. Not to speak about your godliness in the context of your animal, but to speak about your animal in the context of your godliness. That changes everything. So the very fact how you start the conversation is different. You know, I grew up with the Rebbe by the Fabrengens. I almost never heard him use the word death. Always the antithesis of life. He never used the word missi. He would say, chayim unhepecha chayim. Also never used the word bad. Toiv, hepecha toiv. And I always wondered, the word ra, is not. It's everywhere. I mean, it's in Chumash, right? Nasati lefanecha sachayim. It's not like ra, we don't use the word ra. But it was a lesson, where do you live? In what space do you live? The world is supposed to be about goodness. We know there's ra. We know. Don't let toiv be defined by ra. Let ra be defined by toiv. It's a headspace. A spiritually healthy headspace is we're good. We want good. And we live in a world that's going to be good. Unfortunately, there's also hepecha toiv. Yeah. but it's in the context of toiv, not the other way around. Very often what happens is, especially the trauma of galus, is the baseline is dark, and hopefully we're going to get some light. The Rebbe was trying to say we have to change the baseline. The baseline has to be light, good. And ra is the in the context of toiv. This is not naivete, it's actually empowerment. It's empowerment, it's not naivete. Yeah, tachkut is not just, you know, be a positive person. Tachkut is the way you think is from the baseline of goodness. And then it's not like you don't fight ra. No, fakert, you fight ra more because you know what it is. You know exactly what it is. You're not afraid of it. You're not weak about it. You're not busy apologizing that you exist. It punkt fakert. It makes the ra weaker, not stronger. When the Gemara says you should always speak b'loshen nekiyah, it's not because the Gemara wanted Jews to be naive. It's because the more you're anchored in your goodness, the more you will defeat your evil. The less I'm anchored, I'm flimsy, you know? Toiv and ra, it's not equal. Ra is not equal with toiv. There's toiv and there's hepecha toiv. It's not equal. Psishke mechutin. You're not my mechutin. You're hepech. You don't go in the same paragraph. It's a certain vart. I'm explaining to you here the context. So let's see, Mamish, a few minutes. He starts the opposite. Vav. Everything Hashem made is zeh le'umazeh. Or to put it in English, there's no free lunch. Maybe free supper, but not free lunch. I mean, in this shul, you do have free lunch and breakfast and supper. But ultimately, zeh le'umazeh aseh lekim. What does it mean, zeh le'umazeh aseh lekim? Every force has a counterforce. Every thesis has an antithesis. Dialectic. There's a zeh and there's le'umazeh. Shagam b'nefesh ha-Bahamas yashdim gimel ha-Bchinas d'neshama ruach nefesh. The nefesh ha-Bahamas, the animal consciousness, also operates on these three levels of consciousness. So when you speak to your nefesh ha-Bahamas, you have to ask it. Are you a nefesh? Are you in ruach? Or are you in neshama? Now it's a fascinating thing. When he said this maimer, we didn't have pictures of the brain. There was no MRI. And there were no pictures of the brain. And as a result of that, there was certainly no the electrical examinations of everything that we know today in neuroscience. We're still learning every year, every week. But the last few decades, there's an explosion. One of the most exciting forms of scientific development is neuroscience, the science of the brain. And it's still beyond comprehension that a little piece of jello that weighs 2 or 3 pounds has in it capacity, wisdom, resources that are beyond the comprehension of any brain. No brain, the part of the brain that we access doesn't begin to understand what a brain is. It's beyond, right? The greatest supercomputers, they're trying to copy the brain of how to build the most sophisticated computers, just like cameras try to copy the eyes. It's beyond comprehension. So he says right away, the Nefesh HaBahamas has three parts, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. One of the yesodos today in neuroscience is that we know that you can operate on three levels of consciousness in your brain. Generally, what's called the reptilian brain or the amygdala, which is the stem of the brain. It's on the bottom of us, over there on the bottom. It's called the amygdala. Sometimes they call it the reptilian brain. It's the part of us that is similar to a reptile. It's the part of you that's like a lizard, or sometimes a crocodile or an alligator, depends who's triggering you on that day. The id. Then there's the mammalian brain. That's the part of you that's like an elephant, or a mouse, or a rat, or a chimpanzee. And then there's that's higher up. And then you have the prefrontal cortex. And that's like the human brain. That's the uniqueness of the human brain, where there's long-term reckoning and long-term planning and the concept of morality and delaying gratification for future benefits and reasoning and so forth. And you always have to ask yourself, which part of my brain is now in control? If the amygdala is in control, it's all about survival. It's like an alligator. And therefore, there's going to be fight, there's going to be flight, there's going to be freeze, there's going to be fawn. And it's responsible for very important things. It's responsible for me going to the bathroom and for me, my temperature being normal, and for the systems of biology that keep us alive. So it's no small thing. it's survival. It's survival, and the most important thing is it's always alert for danger. In other words, it right away monitors the enemy and it responds. And then there's the mammalian brain, which is capable of emotion. You can't expect from a lizard an emotional relationship. With elephants, right, or dogs, or chimpanzees, or monkeys, and even rats, there's a lot of feeling. Animal feeling, but feeling. And then there is prefrontal cortex. And it's very, very important, as we're going to see here. And today you know, I can't talk to my nefesh Bahamas when it's in the state, they call it parasympathetic state. When it's, when the nefesh Bahamas is operating on a level of the amygdala, right? It's like having a conversation with a crocodile. Churchill once said, he's speaking about Hitler, Yamach Shema, he said, appeasement is feeding the crocodile in the hope that he's going to eat you last. The best description for Israel's mistake over the last few decades. You feed the crocodile so that you will be eaten last. So what happens here is, if my animal soul is in that state, I can't speak to it. It's not regulated. It's meshuga. It's like the fire alarms in your house. You know when the fire alarms go off? The good fire alarms, right? And you try having a conversation. It's like having a conversation at a chasana. You know those chasanas where the music is, and you have a conversation? So at least that's music. When the fire alarm is going off, you can't have a conversation. All you could think about is get this alarm off. So imagine the fire alarm in my system is on 24/7. I can't have a conversation. All I'm doing is trying to figure out where the fire is coming from and how to get saved there. And what if I don't even know that this is a fire alarm because I think this is natural? So many people are suffering today from anxiety. And the anxiety is 24/7. But they're so used to it from age 3, they don't even know it's a fire alarm. So it's like you grow up into a house where, literally, and that's the only house you know. So somebody says, wow, this is strange. No, this is life. And this is today the reality for so many people. They don't call it an alarm. This is the only thing I know. The anxiety that so many people are suffering from is mamish this. That was therapeutic. Forgive me. Should do it another few times. It'll be good. But it's mamish what the brain is doing. So we give it a name, anxiety. Stop calling anxiety the radius of physics. It's not anxiety. It's It's screaming 24/7. Especially when you come into social settings, chasana, bar mitzvah, it goes crazy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're from the lucky ones. Somehow there's quite a few people who know what I'm talking about. And the awareness of this is so, so, so important. Because you could learn Shas, you could learn Bavli Yerushalmi, you could learn Musa, Machshava, Kabbalah, out! But if this amygdala is still screaming, nothing can go in. There's nobody to talk to. There's a fire alarm. But we don't know this because it's not conscious. This is how I grew up. This is the only reality I know. So I'm just responding to it. So the reason I'm learning is just because I think maybe it's going to lower the fire alarm. But the truth is, all the learning is coming through the lens of the amygdala, through the lens of the reptilian brain. So it's just feeding it more because I didn't deal fundamentally with it. So when he says here that the Nefesh HaBahamas operates on 3 levels, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, it's fascinating that Chassidus is really articulating what we literally see today in neuroscience, that there's 3 different states in which my animal consciousness can live in. The only way to work with the animal soul is when the animal soul could feel a certain form of safety, of security. And then it's open to a message. V'loishamu al Moshe mikoytze ruach u'me'avayda kasha. Imagine, right, I'm choking you, chas v'shalom, and you can't breathe. Wait, let's meditate. We're all going to meditate. Let's let's open the vagus nerve. Let's get into a regulated state. Close your eyes, everybody. Breathe. But you know what? That's mamash. It's happening. It just doesn't look like that physically, but emotionally, and the fact that it's unconscious only makes it deeper. It's not like it's not. It makes it deeper because it means it's my baseline. It's the system I grew up with. I don't even know another system. You know, the fact that it's unconscious doesn't mean it's not powerful. It means it's more powerful because I don't even know how powerful it is. It's my totality. So as we're going to see, the nefesh ruach neshama from the nefesh alikis is the part of the nefesh alikis that lives in the nefesh abahamas. And because it lives in the nefesh abahamas, they could start learning each other's language. That's why it's called kaychas pnimim. Kaychas pnimim means the kaychas that are pnim. Pnim versus makif means that which becomes integrated in the animal soul. It's the part of the nefesh alikis that can actually have a conversation with the animal soul when it could take the animal soul into a place of more regulation. That's why a child who's not regulated, and an adult who's not regulated, all the mussar in the world, and even the inspiration in the world, it's meaningless. It's worthless. Like, stop choking me. Put off, there's a fire alarm inside of me. There's two lions that just came in from both windows, literally, here. What are you giving a shia? There's two lions that I'm facing now. And the fact that he's smiling, right, or frozen, doesn't mean there's no lions. It just means the lions are already inside. Reb Simcha Binim of Shischa once said, they asked him, what's Avodas Hashem? So this was a little bit after the French Revolution. French Revolution, they had the guillotine. You know what the guillotine was? It's a horrible, they murdered tens of thousands of people with a guillotine. They would put a person under the guillotine, boom, chop off the head. So, Reb Simcha Binim of Shischa, you know, said this, he was the Rebbe of the Kutz, he was a sharp man. So he says it means that every moment you should realize that you're under a guillotine, and the next moment the Yetzirah can chop off your head. That's what it means. He was trying to say, avoid this, and you have to be alert, right? Because the next moment, you could be done. Like, you have to be alert. You know, one text, one gaze. So somebody said, Rebbe, what if I don't feel this way? He says, it means your head was chopped off already. So I don't know that this is what should be the manual for every 7-year-old child, that you're under a guillotine. What he was trying to say is, the fact that I'm not feeling how much anxiety lives in me doesn't mean it's not there. It just means my head was chopped off already. Chas v'shalom. Of course, in Ruchnius, your head can't be chopped off because the nefesh alikis can't be corrupted. So that's the good news, right? There's always somewhere to go back to because the divinity can't be corrupted. So b'meila, we're going to now learn, the next piece is going to be learning about the relationship between the two souls. And this relationship is no small thing because this relationship is the core of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means my nefesh alikis could have stayed in heaven. It did not. It came down into an animal consciousness. No person doesn't have an animal. We have an animal consciousness. The animal consciousness is responsible for biology. It's responsible for the miracle of life. Nefesh habasar bedami. This is the soul that animates life, that every person has, every animal has. Nefesh HaBahamas. And the Nefesh HaBahamas is a major, it's not just the part, it's our operating system. It's like it's the whole operating system. Functionality. And it's not just operating, it's also identity. It's who I am. The tragedy happens that the Nefesh HaBahamas, when it doesn't know about the Nefesh HaLakis, so it's like a puppy in a house without anyone taking care of it. The puppy now has to assume responsibility for the house. Imagine you leave 5-year-olds in your house, you go for a chasna, you don't come back. So now the 5-year-olds have to run the house, right? They're going to develop interesting theories about life, about self, about parenting. The Nefesh HaBahamas, divorced from the Nefesh HaLakis, it takes over and it has to start developing a whole identity of what it is, of what it's not. And it's crazy pressure on the Nefesh HaBahamas. And it does it. It does it well. And this is what's called Midas Rayas. Midas Rayas are not evil Midas. Midas Rayas are the emotions we create when the Nefesh HaLakis is not in sync with the Nefesh HaLakis. When the Nefesh HaBahamas is not in sync with the Nefesh HaLakis. So it develops this whole array of attitudes and behaviors and patterns and instincts and philosophy too. Creates a whole philosophy too around it, because philosophy needs to protect psychology and emotions and behaviors. Everything needs philosophy, right? Because you need a justification. I'm not an animal. Even the worst people in humanity, right? If you spoke to Stalin or Hitler, they'll tell you we're helping the world, right? You speak to the Islamists; they'll tell you we're cleaning the world for Allah. We're good people. We're good people. We don't kill children. We don't do that. So there's always a philosophy that justifies it. Even the worst criminals, they'll always explain to you the philosophy. There's always a philosophy that goes with it. But what's the underlying truth here? The underlying truth here is that the Nefesh HaBahamas is not in a conversation with the Nefesh HaLakis. So the Nefesh Ruach Neshama of the Nefesh HaLakis that we explained, it's manifested in the Nefesh HaBahamas. And it works with the Nefesh HaBahamas and through the Nefesh HaBahamas. And there's a constant conversation. Right now, as I'm talking, right, all of us, throughout the day, the Nefesh HaBahamas is constantly sharing stuff, always. It's sharing stuff. And you have to tune in and know what to listen to, how to listen to it, how to respond to it, what is its message, what is its real message. Because when we can do that, everything changes. Sometimes, of course, it's not just through words, because the coping mechanisms of the Nefesh HaBahamas could be so deep that I may not know about anything else. You know, and that's when we need support systems and different forms of help and treatment. But that's going to be the nekuda that we're going to explore, Be'ezer Hashem, the next class. Tomorrow there's a woman's class at 9:30 a.m. And we will continue Thursday morning, 7:45. Everybody have a beautiful and wonderful day. The Nefesh HaBahamas comes from klippa, meaning there are blockages that eclipse.
You're really supposed to feel that?
Yeah, in other words, the Nefesh HaBahamas has blockages by nature. That's what makes it klippa. But a person can open it up, can open up the klippa and create a relationship between the Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaLakis is a chelik elikami mal mamash. It's divine. But it's embodied in the guf, in the brain, and in the Nefesh HaBahamas. Nefesh HaBahamas is the body. The body is a manifestation of the Nefesh HaBahamas. That's the body. The guf and the Nefesh HaBahamas work together. The Nefesh HaBahamas is simply the, what we call the electrical signals, the consciousness, the engine behind the body. Both in terms of functionality and in terms of emotion and in terms of consciousness, it's all the Nefesh HaBahamas. And the maintenance. The Nefesh HaLakis, though, is it's all there. It's embodied through it and in it. And the purpose is to create, to work together, to sublimate the animal soul. The animal soul is not evil, it's just an animal.
Think about Apple computers or whatever you have, Android. Right. Operating system is the primitive instructions that it can perform for any applications, but all the beauty comes through the applications built on top of it. Yeah.
The operating system is like a primitive system, but that's the computer. And if you delete the operating system, your most brilliant applications are irrelevant. You know? You don't have what to work with. If a person ignores their body, ignores their animal soul, what are you working with? That's why, you know, it's an honor to have you. when people ignore their body, or they denigrate their Nefesh HaBahamas, it's like destroying the operating. Like, I don't have time for the operating system. I'm too busy. This is the computer you have to work with. This is your Beis HaMikdash. You can't ignore your animal soul. You can't ignore your body, and if you do, it has its own. It has its own life. It takes revenge. You understand what I'm saying? There must be communication. There has to be a flow. I say, I don't care about this alarm. This fire alarm sounding. Well, guess what?
I don't care.
Huh?
I do care about the fire alarm sounding.
Exactly. Yeah, this smart boy. this is what I have to work with, this fire alarm. I have to work with it. I have to calm it down.
What were the mitzvahs that we used to feel, right? Each mitzvah corresponds to a part of our body.
Sefer Charedim goes through all the mitzvahs, the parts of the body.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.